Hello, everyone. This is Raise the Vibe on Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. That was Gary Culp on the flute this morning. He's joining me in the studio. We're going to be discussing everything frequency and much more. Gary, welcome to the show. So happy to have you here today.
Wow, I'm happy to be here, too.
That was beautiful.
Looking forward to that. Yeah, that's played on a Native American flute, a five-hole flute. And the five-hole flute is in the key of F sharp, 741 vibrations per second. And according to science, it's something, the tone itself is a quality that brings up an improvement in our intuition, activates our intuition. And it's called the love flute in the Native American tradition, the F-sharp flute. And the F-sharp flute as the love flute, when you think about intuition and improving that, I think it sounds like a pretty consistent idea. I love the flute and I love that sound. Yeah, so
tell us a little bit more. You've brought a couple other instruments with you today, also tuned to that frequency. So give us a little bit of history of how you got into this way of tuning and what it means to you.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Mexico. My wife and I have been spending our winter months there for the last 14 years and ran into some friends down there who were promoting an idea called solfeggio frequency, music frequency. And I got in with them and started making music, creating music with them, and began tuning our instruments to a different frequency than is used as standard tuning, I would say, around the world, which is true because electronic music is around the world. And but particularly in the Western world, tuning of 440 vibrations per second, which is a tuning that was determined back in the 30s to standardize all of the Western music. And that 440 vibration or frequency of hertz is a frequency that's been determined to throw a lot of our music kind of out of harmonic frequency with our own bodies and with the energy on the planet. And that by raising that vibration, just a few, matter of fact, it's four frequency vibrations, that that we will somehow be able to feel the whole energy of the whole frequencies, and that we'll gain benefit from that physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. So I found it through these guys, and it was pretty interesting that we started toning in a tunnel and feeling that frequency and vibration when we would be right on and we'd bring our instruments in there. And somehow it felt like a cosmic vibration was something we were partaking in, and it was a wonderful moment. So that's where it got started for me.
That's really beautiful. Why don't you go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Well, I spent many years teaching primary education and children, and also as a movement toward my own, I guess, inner calling or whatever. I eventually found my way into a great spiritual inquiry that began as a pastor of a church and finished seminary. As a Methodist, then I switched over to a more interfaith persuasion. And that really I got to through my study of indigenous people, and particularly sweat lodges and the spiritual story of the indigenous people here in the United States, particularly the Iroquois and then also the Lakota and Sioux and many others. So it's all been a part of my own evolution. And certainly was not any place I ever thought I was going to be going, you know, in those early days of my theological education. But certainly has drawn me to appreciate not only other cultures and other spiritual paths and other mystical things that come up in the many different spiritual paths, but also to become a bit of a mystic myself and to look at what frequency and vibration and all of that is about, because I'm really getting to the point where I believe that as a society we're missing something. We are feeling culturally diseased, like we're somehow separating ourselves even more. We're judging and all that even more, and I feel like sort of this sickness or this disease definitely has to have some kind of a remedy. And I've been getting more and more the message that music is medicine, mm-hmm. and sound is medicine, and that it can lift us out of whatever life experiences that we're having and the emotions that we have that go along with that, up into a higher vibration or frequency, and bring us more happiness, more joy, more inclusion. And I'm really promoting that. I think it's something that we as musicians kind of owe it to the world to try an experiment of raising the vibe. I have a little quip that I use. It's a raise the vibe, heal the tribe.
I love that.
I believe that humanity is a tribe. We are, who knows where we are from. We come in many different colors and cultures and life experiences, but we are a tribe. We are one. And that unity is something that I feel that can be lifted. And it's certainly a malaise or a disease or whatever, not just, the culture that we live in and or the Western culture, but it's something that's being experienced all around the planet right now. And if there is a solution or if there is a way to remedy that or do something to experiment to see if we can lift that, I think it's worth a try. And I don't know why anybody would object to it. A good question. I don't know why anybody would object to an experiment of raising the vibe and healing humanity.
I don't know why either.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful. You were telling a story before we started about a man and 4-4. Can you tell that story to our audience?
It's
so awesome.
This is fun. We just got, it's sort of like once we begin to focus on an idea strongly, like I have been recently, more and more information comes to you. The sources are always interesting. You think, well, how did that land on my desk? Or why did that book in my hand right now?
Yep.
And my son, who lives in Tahoe, California, is interested in the kind of things that I am, sort of, you know, not at all to my degree, but saw this article on this gentleman whose name was Scott Flansburg, Flansburg, a 53-year-old mathematician who has an amazing gift, and that is that he can tally or add numbers faster than a computer with his brain. And wow. Like he can do 36 major additions of three-letter numeral, like 16 times in 15 seconds or whatever, or 36 times in 15 seconds. I mean, it's incredible. He's also encouraging people around the world to be more mathematically minded and to see numbers as an important part of our understanding each other and understanding life and how our brains work. And particularly speaking of a healthy brain, he has a section, a place in his brain that they discovered when he was doing a Guinness World Book of Record addition. They were doing a scanning of his brain at that time, and they discovered that there's a section that was very, very active, like four times more alive and sized than ordinarily. And they discovered that it's in section 44 of the brain.
That's great.
And 44 is the number that we're working with here so much because it, in numerology, it has to do with kind of stability, I guess you'd say. It's like knowing truth. And truth comes from an essence that is beyond ourselves even. We know it, but we experience it through our own experiences and through messages that we get that we trust from perhaps another dimension or from our dreams or from our conscious awakening thinking and seeing synchronicities and patterns in our life. So that as we develop this intuitive mind that has a understanding of frequency and sound, we get to a point where all of a sudden it sort of overtakes you. And as it did for this gentleman, Mr. Flansburg, it overtook him. And so it became a complete reason for existence. He said, I have a gift. And you were telling earlier about a woman that you know who has gifts. Mm-hmm. I have a gift. I have something very not at all ordinary for a human being, maybe one in a million or whatever, maybe fewer than that. But he has this gift. He said, I want to use it. And so he's using it to educate children around the world. And he's written books about mathematics. And fun thing to watch his videos is Scott Flansburg and see how excited he is about changing the calendar and giving us meaning to our daily schedules, and really a very fascinating thing. But I love that number 44 part of the brain. Our brain has all these different numerical names to them and qualities, and that particular part of the brain was four times, I heard that number too, four times larger than ordinary, and in its section 444 of his brain, on the left, a little bit above the left temple is where that goes on. We know that the left brain has to do with mathematics and direction and speech and all of that. The right brain is that emotional, you know, feeling, spiritual part of ourselves. Well, that left brain is facts and like chemistry, and it's like all to do with standardization of ideas and so there it is, right there in that, in the temple, which is a wonderful thing where you call your temple your place. It also, that temple, that part of the brain has to do with perception of music. It has to do with speech. It has to do with semantics, how we put things together from one thing to another. And also it has a lot to do with the control of the hands. And I just thought that part of the brain. I just learned about this week, and I thought, wow.
Fantastic. There are no coincidences. Yeah. That is so cool.
I love it. So there you go. That's a little bit about a new friend of mine. I'm just trying to connect with him now online. It'd be fun to
share.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing more about that. And then the Gregorian chant we were talking about when we met at the coffee shop, Solfeggio. Can you talk a little bit about that and that connection?
That's good. That will put it into perspective. That I mentioned earlier that my friends in Sayulita were all learning about and studying solfeggio. They are musicologists who actually graduated from UCLA College of Music, and so they're really interested. As a matter of fact, Jess has tuned his piano up those four frequencies all the way across the piano. And my wife and I had that exact same thing done to our piano 2 years ago. It lifts the vibe, it raises the frequency. And according to science, like the human ear, whatever, is most of us can't even assimilate or understand what four frequencies sounds like in difference of tone. It's like not recognizable. But in cymatics, which is the science of frequency and vibration and geometric designs that they create with lead on steel plates, etc., it has to do with being perfectly on, and that's when the effect takes place. And so even though we're playing around with 523.6, when the concert violinist comes out to tune the orchestra, she's not tuning them to 528 hertz, which is just, you know, 5 hertz higher. But that 5 hertz in frequency and in the performance of an orchestra makes total difference in terms of how we hear and how our own bodies relate and act to it viscerally, physically, and emotionally. And it's just there's something very magical and very whole about moving to whole tones away from fractional frequencies. Interesting about this guy Hertz, Heinrich. He only lived to be 36 years old. He died of a very strange disease young. But in his 36 years, he had figured out how to measure sound in hertz and how many any vibrations or waves per second a note would be. And the one thing he said before he died was, yeah, I did that, but he said, I have no idea that would ever have any importance. You know, it's something I had discovered that I don't think will ever affect anything at all. And it was amazing. I just found it out. And here we are now realizing that frequency is everything. Einstein said it, you know. Everything has to do with vibration. And if it does, these walls, tables, and you and me are all of us a part of this vibrational reality. It'd be good if we knew a little bit more about it and how to handle each other with it and understand what the frequencies actually do to affect us emotionally, physically, and certainly spiritually.
Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah. More research would be fantastic in that area. Can you talk a little bit about how music has been standardized?
Yeah.
And when that started?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that it was in the 30s, and it was a time when there was a lot of posturing for World War II, very strong, and that there were families involved in what that posturing was about. And part of what people believe, if you believe in conspiracy theories, and this is certainly an interesting one, if it's not true, it certainly ended up being true, that to settle for 440 hertz, 440, as what we call A on scale 4A, which by doing that, everybody in the Western world will all be on the same tone. So that if you had electronic music, which is being discovered about that time, or whatever was going on in terms of orchestras, listening to CDs and recordings, it would all be standardized in the same frequency. So that if you were playing a violin and you keyed it up to 440 vibrations per second, and you played along with a CD that you had of an orchestra, you could play along in the exact same key that they're playing in. Gotcha. Well, what that did was throw concert C, which is the tone that the violinist, the master violinist, plays when he or she comes out. She's playing 523.6 frequency instead of 528, which is known to be a tone or frequency that is said to heal damaged DNA, if you can imagine that, and create an anxiety-less being. And when I read this and began to understand what the solfeggio tones were about, I began to say, wow, music is medicine. Just to give you an example, G, which we also play in 444 at 396 vibrations or hertz per second, that particular tone, when played, if you allow it to be a part of your own visceral being, it heals guilt and shame and brings less anxiety. And
that's incredible.
Somehow, that's what I think our cultures are all about right now.
Yeah.
None of us are self-expressed because we're afraid to be. We have a fear of being good or whatever it is, or ashamed of something, or feel guilty about something, or all these people with anxiety complexes. Mm-hmm. The key of G, just doing 396 vibrations per second and listening to it over and over again and allowing it to sink in and even humming along with it and making it a part of you. If you play a ukulele, it's the first string on the ukulele.
Nice.
First string, So it's like, playing instruments is a really good way to get in touch with these frequencies. So that's one that gets rid of that. The C does the miracles, and I was talking about, and F sharp, I was talking about how it improves our intuition. And A, when you play A at 444, I see three little angels standing beside each other with their wings out back, and somehow I just feel like that's a real connection to the cosmic will or to the cosmic mind.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yeah, I follow numbers too. They're really a big part of my life. You know, everybody's seeing them on the clock. Recently they're asking, why am I seeing these numbers? Like 111, 222, 333, all these little hidden messages everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's a fun thing to kind of connect with that, the 444. Who knew? It's connected way deeper, than just the surface stuff, obviously. So you have a fun Tesla quote, and he was actually doing a lot of research, on this as well. You were sharing with me.
Who was that?
Tesla.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I missed it for a second. He said, when we finally understand 9, 6, and 3, or 3, 6, 9, the combinations of those three numbers, we're going to understand the meaning of the universe. And it was like, what was that to mean? I had no idea until eventually people began to come up with quotes around it when they got to the solfeggio tunings, because 963 frequency is the what's called uniting with the spiritual, like being your highest, being connected to your highest self. When that note's played, it's actually right around B flat. But along with that was the 396, which is the one I said before, was a combination of those numbers. He played mm-hmm. with numbers all the time. He was like, he used to walk around the block three times before he entered his apartment. He was a very superstitious kind of a guy. But and maybe he wasn't even from here. Many people believe he was a Venetian, and his energy came from there. His the knowledge that he brought to us about electromagnetic energy and about, you know, propelling your automobile with the gravitational pull of the Earth. And we don't even need, you know, we don't need oil. We don't need gas. And these, we don't even need electricity. Nice. So, you know, it's, electricity is a God-given gift. You know, and, you know, J.P. Morgan says, well, then how are we going to charge the people for it? And he said, you don't have to. It's free. And he said, you're out of here. You know, and now look at what we continue to have.
Right.
We're just beginning to study Tesla and see the amazing truth that he brought to us. Probably the, you know, the most genius mind of that century, maybe of several.
Right.
But nobody knows about it. You know, our history book never mentions his name. No. I just love it.
Right? I wish we knew more about his work, for sure.
Yeah.
So how does changing frequency change our reality?
That's a really good question. I think changing frequency will have a very positive effect on our cultures, on our lives personally, collectively, family, whatever it is, that we're going to, I think we'll be more imbalanced and more harmonically connected to each other. I came across a little thing, trying to think, oh, what's my purpose? What am I trying to do here? And I thought of like A-E-I-O-U. What are the vowels? What's that mean? And I thought, well, the first one is to awaken. So if we can awaken each other to listen to this idea. Second is E, educate. If we could just empower each other through more knowledge, through a lot of us don't know, you know, as I said, a lot of people don't even know why a hertz is a hertz, and they don't even know that there, you know, 528 of them in the sea that you hear in the concert orchestra played. You know, many of us, I don't mean ignorant, it's just that we don't know, we haven't learned, it's not been a part of our study or our interest even, and maybe it's time now to awaken and get interested in this field. The third one is to inspire, and I think that that's what both of us are about, and the people that speak on your program, we're here to inspire people, to lift them to a different way of thinking about something, whatever it might be, music or relationships or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're trying to be inspired. The O for me is to organize. I think that if we get together, we are a power that can be not reckoned with. You know, Victor Hugo or somebody said, you know, never doubt the power of a few people who are committed to change something.
Yes.
Is the only thing that ever has. And if we get a few people together who are committed to seeing, you know, positive change in the ways that you're working with in this Raise the Vibe radio station program, you know, who knows what can happen? Really, Margaret Mead said something like, there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come.
Oh, beautiful. I love that.
And if the time has come, all we can do is put it out there, as we talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
And
get the information
Get the information out there, not sit on it. Get the information out there and then surrender it. Let it go. If the timing is everything.
Yeah.
The reason we weren't sitting here or you weren't sitting here 5 years ago was that the timing wasn't right for it. The audience wasn't there to listen to what you had to say or what's being shared here. And now it's happening. And I just feel like, you know, like I was reading this Ganesh piece this morning, sounds like, you know, your gateways are open, the doors open here for opportunity for people to learn and to express themselves and to share ideas that are, you know, it's great to have a wonderful idea, but if it's just yours, it doesn't really affect anything.
Right.
And being able to maybe radio, I'm hoping to have an article ready really soon for The Loop and for The Beachcomber.
Oh, fantastic.
And I've been talking to the bookstore here, and Nancy's about ready to give me a date for an author meetup.
Great.
So by the time
we'll have to keep our eyes out for
Keep your eye out. The word will be out there. And I would love to entertain more conversation about this subject. Here we live in the sound, mm-hmm. and we're talking about sound.
Yes.
And my thought is, why can't Vashon be the new sound of the sound or something? And all of our musicians here, you know, raise the vibe and just be together on mm-hmm. it and see if we can't make the magic happen right here on Vashon. You don't
There's
know.
So many talented people you can work with and talk to.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Retune the instruments and play the music, you mm-hmm. know, in these frequencies, mm-hmm. these true frequencies. That would mm-hmm. be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think Vashon Island is a perfect place for this.
Raise the vibe.
Yes.
Heal the tribe. Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
You know, it's got to do with brain health.
Oh.
Because if it's true, what Scott has shown us through science,
mm-hmm.
that there is a part of our brain that is stimulated by music, by speech, by touch, by our hands, and by our just the very fact that we're sharing, you know, in this growth area,
mm-hmm.
That we can all do it. It's exercise your brain. Play a music instrument. Listen to more music. Learn about... All these things are online, by the way. If you go to YouTube, check out Solfeggio. You can listen to 11 hours of relaxing meditation music in the key of F sharp, you know, if you
and
want
it's
to.
Wonderful. I highly recommend
it's
it.
Just
there are
great.
Lots of sources out there. Yeah, keep going.
Well, even that radio station, which is called 528 Love Radio.
Oh, yeah. And they have an app for that.
Yeah.
Yep, which is fun.
All of that mm-hmm. Material, all the music that you hear, I think are 9 genres or something in that musical presentation. There's some advertising too, but when they're hearing the music, you're hearing everything retuned, as any frequency machine can do with any song that you love, can tune to 444 hertz on A, making that G where it's supposed to be, to help us get rid of our fear and our guilt and our anxiety and our shame and all the baloney that we've been taught all these years, and to lift our DNA to a healed place. You don't have any idea what's going on in your DNA. You know whose is in there. It's your great-great-great-grandfather and the people that fought in the Civil War, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. All these people that ever had any radical, you know, terror or something happened to them. It's all recorded in there. And there are ways to, like, bring healing to that. I can't go into it now, but I've watched some demonstrations of DNA.
Yes, and when we heal ourselves, we do. We heal the past generations. We heal that ancestral DNA. You know, they are doing scientific studies on that. It's really fascinating.
And they're all cheering for us as
Yay.
We do it. Rise and shine.
Yes, that's awesome.
The main thing, too, is that this whole idea, the concept is subtle.
Mm-hmm.
That even the people who are the most vicious on the planet, those who are, you know, the terrorist kinds of people, if they got bombarded, I love that word, I think it's a 44 itself, whatever, if they got into bombardment with the sound, just like I think they tried to drive some of the Jews crazy in the concentration camps by playing this dissonant music.
Oh,
and it drove them crazy. And so that, you know, we can raise the vibe and mm-hmm. heal the tribe in a subtle way. And even the hard, you know, ones to win over, maybe people with psychiatric problems and all the kinds of things that go along with it, we don't even know. But as long as we're out of frequency and out of vibe with what truth is, you know, it could be anything could be causing it. We could become the culture that we've all dreamed that we could become, you know, living in love and sharing everything and having nobody in need and more than anything, serving each other.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. I love everything that's going on online, you know, mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. you know, working with the frequencies you're working mm-hmm. with, doing the bowls, mm-hmm. you know, the tuning forks. You brought some of the mm-hmm. tuning forks today. Mm-hmm. They've been mm-hmm. doing healing, mm-hmm. you know, with the tuning forks. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Well, this particular one is C. I don't know if it shows up on
I can
the
hear
sound.
It.
And that's the one that played and listened to frequently, and your music that you listen to is tuned to 528 frequency, that it really does help you to get beyond narrow thinking. It kind of broadens you and begin to see synchronicities in your life and change. And as I said, it really can get back in there and deal with healing some of the, you know, the trauma that has come along with us through our genetic inheritances. And the other
healers are starting to use these yeah. as well. I have them use them in my practice. I do G.
And this is the G, the one that rids us of guilt and shame and fear and anxiety.
How wonderful. You know that this, just this simple thing can help us to heal our physical, energetic, and mental bodies. I mean, you know that we have access yep. to this in our lives, and I'm glad that people like you are, you know, bringing this out into the public so it can become a conversation.
You know what? Another thing is that someone say, oh, I use some of the vibrational frequency things in my healing work too. I have a nice A440. I use it for my, and I think, you know what? If you believe that you're healing someone with A440 or whatever it is, you can be. Because mm-hmm. I believe that maybe the power of belief.
Intention is a lot.
Is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And Jesus himself said, it's your faith that healed you. You know,
yeah.
you believed it. And because you believe, we can, you know, if we believe that women, you know, are inferior and shouldn't be allowed to vote, but should be home, you know, or else, but, you know, then that's a reality that we have.
But yeah, that was a reality.
Yeah.
We're slowly working our way out of that belief.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And about so many other ways mm-hmm. we used to think that the new consciousness or the new thinking, and it's all got to do with the new paradigm that we're sitting on the edge of right
yeah.
now. Much more feminine, where, you know, nurturing and loving and equality and inclusion and, you know, all those aspects of the mother are becoming ingrained in our children
yes.
and they are beginning to
finally.
See it. And finally. Mm. And violence, you know. All forms of it, and you know, the subtle violence and the sarcasm in the classroom, you know, it's all a form of wanting to put someone else down or whatever. And when we finally see that there's no one else to put down because you're just yourself in other forms, then we'll all see the unity of it, which is really what the AEIOU, the U, mm-hmm. after we organized or figured out how we're going to get together, on that is
yeah.
unite.
Yes.
Unite.
We really need to.
The collective yeah. consciousness is so powerful, just like women shouldn't be voting. That was a very powerful thought, and it's no longer even a consideration anymore. Now we're hoping to get a woman to guide us, you know.
Yes, it's nice to see the change in the world, you know, the mm-hmm. progress, mm-hmm. the evolution. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have this little phrase, women for a change. And
nice.
there is not an organization out there like that. There's a small one in Africa somewhere. But I think women for a change is like, it has a double meaning, you mm-hmm. know, women for a change and women for a change. You
yeah.
know, let's see what that's about, you know.
I love that.
Anyway.
And hopefully that follows that, people for a change.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Right. And let's talk about semantics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I thought semantics had to do with languaging only. But in terms of that part of the brain, region Bowman 4-4, Area 44, has to do with how everything is connected to each other and how things are multiplied over by each other and how things relate to and words relate to each other. And so when I got to thinking, well, why is that so much mathematics? And I realized that it's all 2 + 2. You know, it's all like numbers. It's all frequencies. And it's all somehow getting into that that semantics, you know, languaging is, as you know, if you look at it numerologically, languaging is frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it has to do with vibration and frequency. And there are words when they're spoken that have a particular frequency, and other words that are spoken that send out another frequency.
Yes.
You know, they're all kinds. And
yeah, what do you want to align with?
Yeah, in the ways they are spoken, even. So it's got to do with voice again, with our, you know. And it said, what was it say about? It has to do with like voice and languaging. This one piece that I was reading about about Scott, yeah, that he knows, you know, numerous languages, and people like that with that kind of a brain,
wow,
you know, are able probably just to pick up and maybe speak it without even knowing it, because there's something going on in that particular, or many of our brains probably, that if we got over the fear of being able to do something and just let ourselves go, who knows what potential might be, you know, released for us.
Wow. Yeah.
It's coming.
And we were discussing a little bit about empowering to listen with the heart. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Because 528, and Leonard Horowitz calls it 528 love, because 528 is so much associated with the energy of the heart, it's also the frequency of the green of chlorophyll.
Mm.
It's that kind of like a yellow green. And when you think about that frequency being in our visual field all the time in the world that we live in, and we think of green as like that energy we think of as peace and, you know,
and the healing energy.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it is. And so that seems to be the action of the heart, you know, heart math or whatever, different forms of people who are studying the relationship of the heart and to emotion and reality.
The heart chakra is green.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so it is. Yeah. So that we see that the heart chakra itself, or the heart, carries with it the same brain cellular energy that we have in our brain, so that our heart has memory, it has an emotion, it has as much thinking going on,
mm-hmm,
as our brain does.
Yes, it does.
And we don't know if we are receptors or what. We might just be nothing much more than, you know, receivers, like of a radio receiver. We're getting all of our energy and our thoughts from elsewhere. We don't really know what's going on. But if the heart has, you know, an equal amount of receptivity happening within it and process that our brain has, my goodness, you know, we should spend more time thinking about what the heart conversation is, and how,
yeah,
how it really wants everything that we've been talking about. That's really what the heart, the whole paradigm right now is, a heart paradigm that's coming in. They can't let children just lay around in cages and not be watched after, and cannot stand for, you know, young girls to, you know, to go through mutilations and stuff, whatever it is. We just, it's and heart language is the same in all languages, I think. The heart, it's like music, an international language. Music is vibration, is international. It has no blockage in terms of what it communicates.
No.
So I think that's what I said, getting into the heart is really what it's about. And again, it's got to do with consciousness and what you believe you become. Mm. And if we can, you know, practice more being in that form, and when we have something crop up in our mind, we feel a little jealous about something and we're like kicking ourselves about this or that, to stop and say, no, wait a minute, that's really not what it's about. It's about my ego and all my, you know, whatever. Let that be what it is, for heaven's sakes, you know, and move on with that. Because the anger that we have and all that is just negative energy that's spent not happily. and it doesn't put it out there into the world either. It's a cumulative thing.
Yeah,
you know?
we don't want to give those things momentum. We want to give the positive things momentum. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, align with those frequencies instead. And music really is medicine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if looking at it this way and, you know, bringing these things out into the light, like, what is our option? Like, knowing or not knowing, we're way better off if we know, you know, these concepts and are able to bring these into our life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of brings us around. We were also discussing the evolution of consciousness.
Yeah.
I think that kind of plays into it too, awareness and enlightenment.
You know, somehow, like, we're not doing this at school. You know, our children aren't learning any of this. And it's really got to do with how am I in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And how is the world that I'm in, you know, and how, it's just interesting to see if you could find a school somewhere that would be willing to experiment with numerology and with Mayan calendar or with all these different esoteric things.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see what effect it would have. And you'd have to have a control group that doesn't get any of it either. You really wouldn't want to do that. So anyway, I just said that I just feel that education is so important. And the younger and more malleable the brain, you know, there's a plasticity
mm-hmm.
into our brain. And even at my age of 77, I still have plasticity going on there. And I'm still learning new things. And they are reforming what I thought about something before.
I'm thinking, right.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I'd known that. I wouldn't feel this way about that, you know.
Yeah.
Or the people that you're judging. If you really walked in those shoes, you know, you probably wouldn't be a whole lot different than what you're observing. But we're all ready for change, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's
I think
right.
The planet's ready for this new model.
Yeah.
I think it's slowly starting to open up.
Bring the goddess home, you know.
Yes. So how would you empower the listener with this information? And why do you think there's so much resistance, you know, to the idea sometimes of, you know,
change?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was John Kennedy said that the only constant thing that there really is change.
Yeah.
And it is happening all the time. And I think the more we experience the fear or the tradition facing us, that way it used to be, and I want it to be like that, or we have something back in our mind that says that we need to follow a certain path, or we shouldn't believe this or doubt that. I mean, after all, it is God, you know, G-O-D.
Mm-hmm.
And so this big mysterium about our lives, and I think that people are afraid to step over the edge of the cliff because they're afraid that where they're falling isn't safe.
Yeah, fear of the unknown.
Yeah, and so if you're not going to be safe, let's just stay with things the way they are. I like C at 523.6, you know. When the opera singer sings that note, I can't imagine her hitting even higher note, you mm-hmm. know. But think of what it might do for her, just to lift her.
Yeah, what it would do for the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
the listening.
Right?
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, we're tuned in.
So,
you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that one thing, I mentioned the book I wrote.
Oh, called, yeah, talk a little bit about your book and what you've written.
Well, mainly because I wanted to mention the concept of film.
Awesome.
I think when any of us writes a story, we're watching it in our mind. It's really a movie that we're watching, and we're creating characters and circumstances and stuff that make this movie interesting to us.
Right.
And so I've written this book called A Gift, call it Grace, Rumi, that's a quote from Rumi. And it's a story that builds into it amazing synchronicities all over the place. Numerology, I include it on every page, something about it. And characters that eventually become a part of a musical system that raises the vibe. And they get together and, through the interesting circumstances of their finding each other, play concerts that totally begin to change people. And the culture eventually. And so it's a fiction. But to me, when I wrote it, I saw it as what would happen if, there's always that big word, if, tiny little thing, you know, but it says a lot. And a lot of times that what you said, what's keeping us from doing this is the if.
Yeah.
It'd be good if we did that, but we're not doing that. But if we really did see that an experiment like this happening, then really we have an idea that anything is possible. And so I, you know, I, the resistance is just the we just don't have time. You know, I don't know how I would even think about that. I don't. Well, maybe I could put that radio station on to listen a little bit, but you know, I'm busy and I'm watching this, and our, so we just get so convoluted in our own life experience that to add something new or to a new breakthrough that's happening for a friend of ours, oh, that's nice for her, you know, but I'm still doing this and I have to do that, and I would like to take that workshop too, but I, you know, I have so much going on this weekend, so we really are not committed to evolution. We're kind of committed to getting along with what is and trying to make it work. And
oh, that's
I think
true.
What we're talking about is a new way of being, a new way of thinking. That's what that paradigm is about. And we're on the edge of that. We're seeing it all.
Yeah.
I listened to all 20 of those Democratic candidates over the last two nights.
Wow.
I'm so impressed with their minds, with their way they think, with their ideas, with the fact that they're 20 human beings that are qualified to say they can lead this country in a way, obviously, that they what would wish to see it led. And it was just, you know, and after we were talking about it, my son said, wouldn't it be great if they all just got together and they could just do it together?
Right.
And I thought, yeah, there'd be,
yeah,
every part would be, every part would be there. It's like, why does it have to be a person? Why can't it be a collective? You know, and I just,
oh, I like that idea.
Oh, I mean, there was the, an Asian, there was like a Native, you know, Hawaiian, there's you know, and a, several black guys, white guys, old guys, women. It was like, it's
diversity.
Like a total beautiful diversity, I thought. And so much intelligence. I mean, and ability to figure out stuff that I don't have time to even think about. And I want someone to be there thinking about it.
Yeah.
With a good way and with a good, I mean, Marianne Williamson is a part of that. She's been a hero of mine for years.
I think that's fantastic.
And someone said, oh yeah, some, you know, a lot of people mock her. And I thought, well, I haven't heard that word for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And some people mock her, but you know, she always comes, every question that comes up, she comes at it from a different direction than the rest of them.
Another perspective.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. You know, we need that there, too. Like Barbara Marks Hubbard used to talk about having a peace room, like there was a war room in the Pentagon, you know, and how you know, that's
a
long,
idea.
We're still, nothing like that has happened. And, you know, where is even the peace movement today?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, wow, if we put people together like that, that, and with someone like her, too, we could just show the world, really show the world what a nation can be like.
Yeah.
Really, a model nation.
Mm-hmm.
We have the potential to be that.
Things can be different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we speak English and Spanish and Chinese and French. And we're like a melting pot of the world. And we speak Lakota and Diné and Navajo. And talk about reparations.
From a collective.
Yeah. Someone was talking about reparations last night. Maybe it was her. Maybe it was that. So much damage has been done with so many cultures and people in our history and the history of the world.
Yeah.
You know, we're not the only ones that were doing all of that.
No.
And somehow, you know, we haven't even apologized, you know, and who, and we, meaning the winners, quote, who are really the losers right now, it seems like our planet is falling apart because of what we've chosen. We, meaning like, you know, the Western world progress.
Yeah, we need to make different choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you like the listeners to walk away with today?
Good question. Curiosity. I think that if people who have listened to this walk away thinking, that was really interesting, I'd like to pursue that. Now, it might just go in the back of their brain somewhere for right now, and maybe a week from now, something else would come up, and they'd say, wow, I thought I heard that on that Raise the Vibe radio station or show the other week. Poco a poco, we say in Mexico, little by little, I think things are built. And if you build on a foundation that's different from the one that's like we're working with right now, right now our foundation is like 1%, you know, and everything else is built on that. So it's kind of an upside down pyramid that we're all resting on, the rich. If we got to the point where all of us together are that foundation, then we can build something that the peak would be a culture that we can be proud of and that we can hand to our children, my grandchildren, and seven generations beyond. There's a group on the planet called the 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. And they're a council of women. I think that one of them passed away recently, so there are 12 now. But they meet on a regular basis, and they're from all over the world. And they are the wisdom keepers. They're all like in their 70s and 80s.
That's awesome.
And they're shaman type women, and they share the same spiritual journey. And they believe, as a part of their profile online, is that to undo all the injustices that have been done, you know, on the planet, and to pay attention to seven generations. I think this is an Iroquois Lakota concept, to always look at seven generations in the future around any decision that you make. So here our Congress or whoever's making it, whatever decision they make, they would look at 100 years hence. How is this going to affect the planet 100 years from now or the people 100 years from now? We have such a short-sighted vision, like, oh, who cares, you know? So Fukushima right now, they're wanting to dump all of that radioactive material into the ocean because it's in these, you know, what, 150 tanks or something where this liquid is being held. I mean, that would be just the straw. They would probably break our culture's back. Some people think it's already been broken, you know, but so there's a hope here. So I guess if anything, people go away with, you know what, maybe there's a possibility that we could do something different. And maybe I'll talk to somebody and in music and see what they think of this idea. And then maybe I'll pick up Gary's book and check it out. Who knows?
Great. You're going to be doing a little more around your book this summer?
Yeah.
The end of the, or
September,
fall?
September. Yeah. I want to do, not only am I going to be at the bookstore and do an article for the papers, but I want to also have advertise somehow a gathering for musicians to just see what kind of book we can all be on a page in. And if there's some way that we might collectively think about a process or decide it's just someone's harebrained idea and let it go. But I think that people thinking and working together can really make the change that we're looking for.
I think so too.
Together is a 44, by the way, that word.
What? Really? Wow. Yeah. That's cool. I love how into numbers you are. That's fantastic. So who do you want to be working with this music and frequency, or the frequencies?
Say it again, please.
Who do you want to be working with music as in with frequencies?
Well, I believe that everybody that's heard this has a responsibility to check something out a little bit. And if you do, I went to Granny's, which is a little store we have here on the island, a resale store, and I bought a ukulele. And I got it very inexpensively, put some new strings on it, and it played beautifully. And I realized that as I was working with it, I never played a ukulele before. I only played guitar. And you look at the strings and what they are, you know, it's one thing. But here on a ukulele, the first string is G, second one is C, and then it's E, and then it's A. So if you tune up on a regular tune, that A would be 440 vibrations per second, and the C would be 523.6. So it would be like that. But if I raise them all, which I have done with this ukulele, that whenever it's on my chest and I'm strumming it, I'm playing A, 444, C, 528, G, 396, helping me get you rid of guilt and fear and anxiety. It's also the first string, helping me to get rid of anxiety and fear and depression and all the things that keep me from being myself. And then And then I get my, see, I get some healing done with my DNA, and I find miracles in my life. And then I'm down here today with the angels and gratitude for everything that I'm learning these days, keeping a brain open.
Beautiful.
So I say, anybody can do that. And I'm going to put, when we finish, I'm going to close with a song that's called a one-finger song. And all I have to have is one finger on a ukulele, and you can play the song I'm going to play.
Right.
And if you bought a little ukulele, if you got one, or borrowed one from a friend, or get one online, or whoever, just playing it against your chest, you're actually taking that frequency, that vibration, and entering it into your body. And there are all kinds of things that happen in all the different organs of our bodies that are attuned to different frequencies. And so really, music is a healer. And so so if music is a healer, everybody can do that. Well, then the rest of the people that I hope will do something with this are people who are musicians, people who tune their guitars every day, who tune their trumpets, tune their violins, tune their oboes, whatever they're tuning to A440. Most tuning systems, the one that I have, cost $13, I think. You can set your beginning tone not at 440, but at 441, 442, 440. You can set it at 444. So I set my open tuning A at 444, and all the other tones on my instrument will then tune to that, so that C becomes 528, G becomes 396, and the other tones kind of fit in where they're supposed to be according to just intonation. So I'd say that if you play your instrument, understand that, and if you're an accomplished musician, probably more than anything, do it, but tell somebody else. If you play in a little band of some kind, violins, cello, whatever, this weekend there's a family going to play their cello and piano at the art center here.
Oh, it'd
be fun if they had all, if they tuned up. Problem is, they're playing on a piano that's been tuned at 440.
Right.
And someday,
standard tuning,
we'll get all, maybe a matter of fact, it might be a job opportunity. That would be something, probably in the future, we're going to need a lot of piano tuners out there.
Mm. So, yeah, let's retune everything.
Yeah, get with the program.
Get out of this old standardized tuning of 440 and elevate the planet, the vibration and the frequency. For sure. So you're going to play a little song for us? We have a couple minutes left before we close the show.
So this is actually in a key called key G7. Here's the G. Here's the G. Here's the seventh. So it's this.
Gary, thank you so much for joining us today. This is Raise the Vibe on Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM. Get out there, everybody, and raise the vibe. And check out all of those online resources about this topic. I think, you know, you'll be happy. There's plenty on YouTube and 528 Radio. So get out there and check it out. Thank you so much, everybody, and have a great day. Gary, you want to finish us up with some music?
Yeah, just my pleasure. I'm so happy to be able to raise the vibe a little bit on this station.
Awesome. Thanks,
I couldn't
Gary.
Believe it. When I first met Liz, I said, your show is called Raise the Vibe? And she said, yes. I said, where'd you get that? She said, well, I think that came to me in the bathtub maybe last year or something. It came to me too. I don't remember how, but it was like, it was just one of my rhymes going. So.
Have a good day, everybody.